a simple war that will end in their favor in no time. And then later on, all their opponents will fall and the Yemeni revolution will be terminated. However, that did not happen. Hence, Saudi Arabia will not only lose, but it will also have to pay the price of losing this war. In no way or form has Saudi Arabia gained anything from its adventure inside Yemen. Saudi Arabia first and foremost lost a safe Yemeni neighborhood, since Yemen is a passage towards Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia should have paid better attention to this vital issue. Yemen should be able to cooperate with the Saudis in order to secure the Saudi homeland security. However, after this aggression, Yemen will no longer cooperate with Saudi Arabia for that vital matter. Saudi Arabia also lost its political reputation and the reputation of its own military. It lost the trust of the world in it as a state that can be able and capable in implementing its strategies. Saudis had thought that winning Yemen will only make way for the Saudis to intervene in other Arab and Islamic sovereign states, and that failed miserably. Saudi Arabia is currently in an isolated zone where no one will trust to partner with it in the future at any level. Saudi Arabia also lost the tools it mobilized against Yemen because it chose to move away from creating a national army inside Yemen and rather founded Salafi incubators to try and make way out of this war. Saudi Arabia also lost the trust of the West because part of this failure is actually a Western American failure. They failed to control a state like Yemen that it overlooks the Arabian Sea and the Indian Gulf too. They even lost all prospects of having political allies in the region due to their loss inside Yemen.
This is what I wanted
to ask you about, Mr. Talib, because in the meantime, the American factor comes very influential on Saudi Arabia as President Joe Biden's administration is trying to keep the status quo in Yemen, no peace, no war, because they are benefiting from this situation financially, and also they are using the war on Yemen as an maybe a blackmailing card against Mohammed bin Salman, just to fuel the tension between Mohammed bin Salman and Joe Biden. How do you think Mohammed bin Salman will deal with this American issue?
Just like the decision to go to war with Yemen was made in Washington, as you know, it was a joint Saudi-American decision and then UAE was involved later on. In the same way, the decision to end this war will most likely come from the Americans and not the Saudis themselves. Mohammed bin Salman and Saudi Arabia cannot decide on their own when this war will end. There is a change in the strategy announced by Biden when he took office in 2021, when Biden himself thought that walking out of the Yemeni swamp will be easy. However, the United States of America completely altered its new Yemen strategy and it began striving to keep the Saudis stuck in this war. When Linda King speaks about ending the war against Yemen, he repeats the demands of the USA and not the demands of Saudi Arabia at all. Linda King speaks the American language and seeks to keep American tools inside Yemen and seeks for this war and siege to continue in a way that keeps the scenery foggy for the Saudis inside Yemen. The evidence is the conference that the Americans have called for to be held in Washington, which Saudi Arabia will have no hand nor decision within it, which is why the Saudis completely disapprove of this conference. This conference will happen this week in the United States strictly to discuss the war on Yemen, which is why Saudi Arabia is completely annoyed by this conference and does not want to see it happen.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens next. Sadly, that's all the time that we have with you, Mr. Talib al-Hassani, political analyst and media persona from the Al-Masira, Yemeni Al-Masira TV. Thank you for your time. And thank you, ladies and gents, for being with us, and I'll see you again next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and congratulations to all on the birth anniversary of the most noble lady ever. The Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. The day which is celebrated as Mother's Day and Women's Week in the Islamic Republic of Iran. we now present you some food for thought on how devoted this lady was to God and to humanity. On her wedding night, someone knocked on the door and said, "I asked the household of the Prophet to give me an old dress." At first, Fatima thought of giving her old dress, but then remembered the words of God in the Holy Quran, which say, "By no means shall you attain righteousness unless ye give freely of that which you love or prefer." She then gave the poor person her new dress, an act that pleased God, and convey this divine satisfaction through the Archangel Gabriel to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Brother Sayyid Abdullah helping me in the critique of the movie Fathers 2, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Sister Asma, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, happy to be here.
Welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, bro. Nice to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you, both of you here in the studio. We are trying to criticize the movie Fathers 2 that we started from a couple of episodes ago. But before me asking you, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, a question, let's take a short break by listening to a part of the movie Fathers 2. And then we'll be back with this question and the explanation that follows them by my guest speakers in the studio. Stay with us.
It's our mission to enter the darkest places and to be the light of Christ.
Dark? Could we black, bad, or both?
It's a metaphor.
If you're going to use big words like that, you might as well pass out dictionaries. Bro.
What you guys get, one phone call a week in here? Who you gonna call, huh? Your mom? You gonna break her heart some more? Your wife? Your kid? He probably gonna get more pity in school if his daddy was dead. You don't need no phone to talk to God. You don't need a guard's permission either. Now, he damn right he's disappointed in it, but he wants to help. No matter how hard you resist it, no matter how many times you say no, he still wants to make you better. He ain't giving up on you. Never. Don't you dare go giving up on yourself.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are focusing on the movie Father Stu, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. I want to ask you this question, Sister Asma. Stu and his colleague in that part of the movie go to a prison for sermon. This is one of the highlights.
That was a very nice part of the movie.
One of the highlights of the movie, actually. And that his colleague finds it very hard to communicate with the inmates, right? But Stu, on the other hand, comes to his rescue and gives them a sort of pep talk referring to the God's grace, help that will never cease.
Exactly, right? Yes.
Does God give up on anyone?
Never. Like, that would never, ever happen. Because God, he already knows what a creature he has sent to the world. So he knows that without him, we're lost. And without his help, we're going to be just miserable creatures. So he would never give up on us. And that's why in many times, either in our holy book or in the narrations of other religions also, we have that he always tells us that the doors are always open for you to come back and I will be there with my welcoming arms to hold you and continue the road with you.
I see. But can you say that, like, that God doesn't give up on anyone to a person who's, like, in deep trouble? Like, who's, for example, chronically ill, no cure whatsoever, or somebody like a prisoner who has been, like, condemned to life,
sentence. Well, you know, it depends on those words coming from whose mouth, you know? Just as what happens in that scene in the movie, when his friend was talking to the prisoners, it was just like somebody reading something from a book. Like, because it wasn't coming out of heart, so it wasn't getting to their heart.
I see.
But when Stu started talking, those prisoners who were on guards, because just the way you said, they are in a situation that they're not going to take any advices from a person, a single person, because they think nobody has ever been in their shoes. And no one
cares about their situation.
Yes, exactly. Nobody cares about their situation. But when Stu talked to them, he used his logic on them, then they melted with whatever he said. So they were open to all the advices that were about to come.
I see. Okay.
So I think it depends on who's telling you all those things.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, Father Stu, producing 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. And then we'll be back to continue our program, Viewpoint, on IRIB English Radio.
Every bruise on my face, every drop of blood I shed was proof of my war against God's injustice. I look worse now than I did then, that's for sure. The difference is, now I know my suffering's a gift from God. I know it sounds like bull, but it's coming from a man in a wheelchair, so you got to entertain it. Hear me out. All our outer nature's wasting away, but our inner nature is being renewed every day. In this life, no matter how long it lasts, is a momentary affliction preparing us for eternal glory. And we shouldn't pray for an easy life, but the strength to endure a difficult one. Because the experience of suffering is the fullest expression of God's love.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah helping me as guest speakers in the program for the critique of the movie Father Stu. Sayyid Abdullah, Stu's sermon, I want to focus on and ask you a question about it in that part. He says, my suffering is a gift from God. All right?
Yeah.
Our life is a momentary affliction preparing us for eternal glory.
Sure.
We shouldn't pray for an easy life, but the strength to endure a difficult one. Because the experience of suffering is the fullest expression of God's love. Is that true?
It is absolutely 100% true. That's basically summing up the meaning of life.
Mm.
You're not here to seek happiness. You're not here to ask God for all the gifts that he has to offer. Life is just a momentary process that we come through and then we go out. Mm-hmm. In this process, what you need is not happiness. What you need is not money, is not wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You need the strength to pass your test, to go through it. And obviously, it is a child in labor. When the child is in labor,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of process. There's a lot of blood in the process. It's painful for the child and it's painful for the mother. So we are in this labor process. In labor, all the mother wants is that piece of comfort, piece of relief of pain. She knows she has to deliver the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows there's no way out of it. But she seeks always asking people around her to give her that piece of comfort to make that labor easier.
Yes.
So we are in the process of labor itself. So what we need is that help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from God, to ease up this pain and be with us and give us the strength to pass the test. As for glory, it will come. You know, like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talks to Abu Dhar, he says, leave your sleep the grave and leave you glory for the akhirah.
Mm-hmm.
Not here. It's not here. Amir al-Mu'min, when he looks at this life, he says, like, you are a passer that sits under a tree and relaxes, and then he walks, he completes his path. This is just a transition. We came from one world, we are in another world, and we will move to another world.
Right.
So we're constantly traveling from worlds. Now, we've forgotten which world we came from, as we refer to as Alam al-Dar. We completely forgot about that.
Yes.
We're going to Alam al-Barzakh, and from Alam al-Barzakh, we go to Alam al-Qiyamah. So we're constantly changing spots. So this is just a transition. Like, imagine, I always say this to people, imagine you're going to from one country to another and you have to have a 3-hour stop in Dubai airport or Singapore airport.
Yes.
There's not much to do. You just need to wait, do what you have to do, and then get on a plane and move somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If in the airport you want to build a house and have everything, then they will laugh at you.
Yes.
So what he said in this sentence is basically what life is all about. You're not here for glory. You're not here to live forever. It's a momentary stage. All you need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, the most thing that you need to ask for is endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Allah, give me the patience.
The strength to endure that,
To pass it. Even Amir al-Mu'min, when he talks about sabr, he says sabr is like a head to the body.
Yes.
So you need that perseverance, that patience, that ability to go through this life and succeed in your exam. Because many people, sadly, failed the exam of life.
Yeah, exactly.
Or they don't even know what life is all about. When people come to me with the problems, I first observe them. I said to them, your problem is not the problem itself. Your problem is that you don't understand what life is all about. Sometimes that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
People are so in touch with something that they forgot the actual purpose of life. That's where people start to make mistakes. And their problem becomes painful and severe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they are somewhere else.
Yes.
They're not on the right track. If you're on the right track, even if you feel pain, it will ease the process because you know where you're going.
Mm-hmm. I see. Sister Asma, what about the end part of his sermon? Like he said, the experience of suffering is the fullest expression of God's love. How do you connect the two, like suffering, God's love?
Well, we have always been discussions about this issue. Well, it's very clear, you know, as just the brother mentioned, we are on a test in this world from a beloved one. So he wants us like this. He wants us to go through different phases and he wants to see how we're doing. So that is his fullest expression of love. And that is difficult, but that is what we have been in this world. That is why we are in this world for.
I see. Okay. Let's take a listen to another part of this movie, Father Stu, produced in 22, directed by Rosalind Ross, and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
Even Christ had his moment of despair. My God, why have you forsaken me? He asked from the cross. Christ felt betrayed. You see, in that moment, he who was sinless took on all our sins and got judged by God. He took what we deserve because he loves us.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to focus on and criticize the movie Father Stu, produced in 22, directed by Rosalind Ross. In that part, Sister Asma, you know, the Stu's sermon, again, I want to focus on it and ask a question regarding that. And that is what he says, Christ, who was sinless, suffered on the cross to take on all our sins and got judged by God.
Mm-hmm.
He took what we deserve, right? Because he loves us. Is this mentality logical? Can an individual be punished for the sins of others?
Well, according to us, that is not true, because God would judge you according to what you have done. And the things that you have created, it's just like at the end of your life, you have created a sculpture of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That sculpture is going to judge by itself. Nobody else is going to be responsible for whatever you did.
Yes.
So you have to be responsible, and you have to be answering according to your responsibilities. So according to us, no, that's not a true belief. We believe that each and every single one of us committed anything, we have to stay strong for it and be responsible for it.
I see. Sayyid Abdullah, you know, can an individual be punished for other sin? Like in the case of Christianity, they always believe that Jesus, in fact, you know, was crucified for the sins of humanity. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a kind of like, as you said, referered to it in a couple of episodes ago, like he tried to wash away all the sins of other people or humanity.
Yeah. No, in Islam, this concept does not exist. Mm-hmm. No one can carry the sin of others. Allah says, وَلَا تَزُرُ وَزَرْتُنْ وَزْرُ أُخْرَى. Whatever you do, you will carry your own burden. For example, if I come to you and say to you, don't pray on my account, I will carry that sin.
Yes.
That's not going to work. Right. Allah says, you're going to get punished, because he said, this is responsibility on you.
Yeah.
Other people cannot carry. And many ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, no one will be able to carry anyone else's sins,
mm-hmm.
or accept them. And because sometimes people say, oh Allah, when Allah talks about nations, says, كُلَّمَا جَاءَتْ أُمَّةً لَعْنَتْ أُخْرَى. Every time a nation comes, it cursed the one before it. And they say, oh Allah, give them our sins. Allah mm-hmm. says, no, sorry, I can't do that.
Right.
That's yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will be punished for misguiding you, but you have to carry your own sins. So no one will carry anyone's sin. So the idea of Jesus carrying the sins of other people is just nonsense. Because mm-hmm. basically telling them, go commit whatever you want, and Jesus is paying for it.
Yes.
So, for example, I say to you, it's an open buffet. Eat whatever you want is already paid for.
Right.
So this is basically what they're doing with Christianity.
Everything is on the house.
Yeah, everything is on the house. So the Islam says, no, you have to be accountable for your own actions. No one will carry your sins for you. We have something better than Christianity. We have intercession. We mm-hmm. have shafa'ah,
well, mm-hmm.
where you seek the shafa'ah of the Prophet, the Ahlul Bayt, the Mu'mineen, when you know that you've done so much sins and Allah says, okay, you need someone to come and try to...
Isn't it the same thing they believe in, but they just don't call it the same thing as we call
intercession,
it?
They do believe in Christianity in intercession, but the problem with the Christianity is that once you die, you go to heaven. They don't have a day of judgment like me and you. They don't like even with for example with Judaism, they say the gates of hell or judgment is closed until the Messiah comes.
Yes.
So now whoever dies, I don't know, God knows where he goes. There's nothing. You know what I mean? So intercession is another way of saying mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have his mercy upon people
mm-hmm.
that the Prophet and the Imam are those who are given this power
right.
to help those who are in need. But mm-hmm. you have to bear and carry your own sin.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. And thank you very much, Sister Asma, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We try to criticize the movie Father Stu, producing 2022, directed by Rosalind Roth. Thank you very much, my dear listeners, for listening to this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodiles seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves this purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theatre.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Tehran Saray Gallery takes part in a massive art exhibition in South Korea, bringing Iran's leading and emerging artists to the Asian market. Works from 6 Iranian painters are displayed at the event, where hundreds of galleries account for more than $50 million in sales annually. Frank Smith reports from Seoul.
Seoul's annual global art exhibition has been reinvigorated this year with additional events and a most certain boost in attendance. The Korea International Art Fair continues an evolution that began with its launch back in 2002. This year features 164 galleries and more international exhibitors than ever before. That growing cosmopolitan experience and this region's growth as an art market hub is what brought a premier Iranian gallery to Seoul.
When we started this gallery, we had the big goal to just introduce Middle Eastern artists and Iranian artists to all over the world. So when you want to introduce artists, you cannot forget South Korea and Far East as well.
Sarai had participated in last year's art fair with paintings purchased by local Korean collectors. Expanding on that success at the event, and as Iranian artists are growing in international stature, Hassan Saradipour decided to display works from 6 Iranian artists at this year's event.
Our gallery focuses on the established and emerging artists. This artist, Abbas Nasashamlu, he just want to show that how the nature and how the human can affect to each other, how this experience he can bring it on the canvas, on the paper.
The massive exhibition featured paintings, although there were various multimedia and sculpture installations. As South Korean living standards have risen, more people have time and money to spend on such events. Their taste in art has also become more sophisticated.
South Korea used to lack art galleries compared to other countries. There was a serious lack of love for this level of culture. However, now these events, I think, create opportunities for more people to gain such appreciation.
For the first time this year, Freeze Art Fair in Seoul exhibited works from 110 galleries, including Picasso, other 20th century masters, and contemporary talents. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Animals, no matter pets or wild, are more vulnerable to drowning or dying in resulting floods and mudslides. A veterinarian school in Pakistan is offering free treatment for animals injured in the recent devastating floods. The veterinary surgery department of Sindh Agriculture University has set up a makeshift animal hospital as flooding hit humans and animals alike in the surrounding area. Volunteers have been providing anything from surgery to medicine and even ultrasounds to the animals free of cost. People from flood-affected areas can be seen bringing their farm animals such as goats, donkeys, buffaloes, and cows to the center. The worst floods in history have killed an estimated 800,000 farm animals. But there were many heartwarming videos trolling on social media showing people come to rescue animals being stuck hopelessly.
Iran is famous for its hand-knotted carpets and ancient art which have been loved for centuries and are never going out of style despite changing taste and increased competition from Asia. Striking geometric shapes that recall 20th century abstract art are what we expect to see in handmade Iranian rugs. But weavers and exporters have been forced to redesign a tradition dating back more than 2,000 years due to numerous problems. Carpet exporter Ahad Azimzadeh says, however, that a revolution is on the way. Iranian rugs are known for dense, curving floral designs in rich colors. They were put on display in a recent exhibition that featured a rug with small squares of hypnotic diagonal blue and white lines and another depicting diamond and other patterns in gold silk. Some countries have overtaken Iran in the global market, but many say modern carpets will never replace the traditional ones which are deep-rooted in Iranian culture. These days, computer technology is impacting every aspect of our life, providing a greater ability to place things, events, and people within context. An Iraqi museum has started using the technology and virtual reality headsets to make exhibits interactive and to bring scenes back to life. Visitors can explore heritage sites destroyed by terrorist groups. Now, using thousands of photographs, a group of local engineers have given a virtual rebirth to five historic sites in Mosul and the broader Nineveh province. That includes a mosque and its leaning minaret. But this museum brings sites back to life for the people who live in Mosul. Although large parts of the old city remain oceans of debris, authorities are trying to restore historic sites, mosques and churches in Mosul. A private museum along the Tigris River, which opened in mid-June, saw more than 4,000 visitors in its first month.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of the Almighty Allah The Compassionate, The Merciful Salamun Alaikum Dear brothers, dear sisters, especially dear sisters, and welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Why especially sisters? Because today is the birthday anniversary of the one and only Lady Fatima and, of course, the Day of Woman in Iran. So congratulations to all Muslim sisters, Shia Muslim sisters all around the world. Today, Friday, is the 20th of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 23rd of the month of day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 13th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar, and the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, Prophet Muhammad's daughter, peace be upon them. We offer our congratulations to all ladies. Without Fatima, there is no Islam, because Fatima is our model. She sets an example and we have to follow it as much as possible. She's the most important lady in this universe and shall always be. When we wear our hijab, we should be proud because we are copying Fatima, who after all is the mistress of all women. When we help others and give charity, we again should be proud because we are doing as Fatima should have done. An example of her generosity is when, on her wedding day, a poor lady came and asked for some clothes. Fatima had only two dresses, the new one that she was going to wear on the wedding and an old one. Fatima gave her new wedding dress instead of the old one. Fatima Zahra alayha salam is and should be the inspiration of all women and should be emulated. She was exactly like her father, Prophet Muhammad, and we too should strive to at least be like her. We should learn from her honesty, modesty, and loyalty. Peace be upon her. Peace be upon her father and his pure progeny. Congratulations to all Muslim ladies all around the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear and sisters around the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to this show. This is Ali and inshallah I will be with you with the topic that we are going to pause and discuss. That is the characteristics of a Muslim lady, a Muslim woman. In this show, we try to mention some of the characteristics of that noble lady. Lady Fatima Sallallahu Alaihi was a model for all the humanity, men and women. The next characteristic and trait of this great lady of Islam was her behavior with her spouse. She was the one who understood the spouse's financial situation, and she was the one who avoided embarrassing her husband. Cooperation and piety and goodness was one of the pillars of Ali and Fatima's life together, and perhaps one of the best and most glorious signs of this is that Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha, during her ups and downs in her life with Ali alayhi salam, never made a request from him that would be difficult for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Clothes, ornaments, home furniture, housing, and the like are the demands that usually every woman allows herself to request from her husband. But Lady Fatima Salamullah Alayha, peace be upon her, never bothered her husband to prepare these kind of things and requests for her. The next characteristic of this lady of Islam was her love towards her husband. Actually, love to her husband, secrecy, politeness, and respect for one's husband require that the wife not only refrains from projecting and exaggerating the shortcomings of the house, but also ignores the shortcomings as much as possible and minimize them. Because when she expresses her displeasure, that has no result except the resentment of the husband. The last point that I want to share here is self-sacrifice. Her self-sacrifice means that she tries to do something in order to compensate whatever deficiency is available in the life and to compensate for those issues that she cannot find in her life. Actually, she tried many times to sacrifice herself in the common life that she had with Imam Ali alayhi salam. She was the lady that could understood the problems and difficulties that her husband had out of house, and she tried to make the house as a calm place and a place of tranquility for her husband. Ya Zahra, flower of Ali, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi. Ya Zahra, flower of Ali, Ya Hawra, delight of Nabi. Ummul A'imma, Bintul Khadija. Best of daughters given to Ummul Mu'mineen. We ask you to intercede for us on Qiyamah, so that with you we may also enter Jannah.
The Lady of the Worlds. Prophet Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, emphasized the exalted spiritual station of Lady Fatima on numerous occasions. In one of the most evident indications of Lady Fatima's immaculate nature, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, stated, O Fatima, indeed Allah is angered for your anger and is pleased for your pleasure. Since Allah is just and wise, he would only be angered or pleased righteously. The Prophet's infallible words describe Lady Fatima's anger and pleasure as indicator of Allah's anger and pleasure. Therefore, Lady Fatima must not be mistaken in her anger or pleasure under any circumstance. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, also said, O Fatima, aren't you pleased to be the Lady of the Worlds, the Lady of this nation, and the Lady of the Faithful? Lady Fatima is also known by another beautiful name, like as Zahra. This name refers to the blooming glow of Lady Fatima's countenance. His sincerity and devotion to Allah was manifest for all to see. Dear brothers and sisters, especially dear ladies, thank you very much for joining us. This is today's special, and thousands of congratulations on the birthday anniversary of the Lady of the Worlds, Lady Fatima alayha salam. Ah.
أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate
Hazrat Zahra's birth celebrated as a Women's Day. Her father was the Holy Prophet and her mother was Khadija. The Holy Prophet loved his daughter Fatima very much and used to say, Fatima is part of my body. Whoever troubles her troubles me, and whoever makes her happy makes me happy. At the beginning of her youth, Fatima married Imam Ali alayhi salam. She was the ideal lady of Islam and excelled all ladies in worship, manners, and morals. For her husband, she was the best wife, and for her children, she was the best mother. She did the housework and took great pains and troubles upon herself to maintain and prepare the necessities of life. Imam Ali alayhi salam used to say, By Allah, I never did anything in all my life which made Fatima unhappy or angry, and Fatima, too, never did anything which made me unhappy or angry. Fatima loved her children very much. She cultured them with Islamic morals, manners, and etiquette, and brought up her children to be the best. Fatima, peace be upon her soul, passed away on the 3rd of the month of Jamadi Thani at the age of 18. Her body was entrusted to the earth in Medina, but the whereabouts of her grave are not known.
Tabari reports, a Sunni historian, a Sunni commentator of the Holy Quran, and a man who narrated many ahadith. He says that when Khadija was pregnant with Fatima, she was in the city of Mecca. She was about to deliver and she asked assistance from the Quraishi women. They all rejected to offer her any assistance. Why? Because she was a wealthy woman and she married Muhammad ibn Abdullah, who was a poor man. They wanted her to marry the aristocrats of Arabia. She married Muhammad ibn Abdullah and they refused her. At-Tabari says, she turned to Allah and said, Oh my Lord, all the people have turned away from me. Please help me deliver this child. At-Tabari says, as soon as she made that prayer, four women enter the house. And Khadija reports that words cannot describe the beauty and the brilliance of these women. The first introduces herself saying that I am the wife of Adam Hawa. I am Eve. The second says, I am Asiya bint Muzahim. I am the wife of Pharaoh, the daughter of Muzahim. The third says, I am Kulthum, the sister of Musa. The fourth says, I am Maryam, the daughter of Imran. Allah has sent us to you to help you deliver Sayyidat Nisa al-Alamin. This is Fatima al-Zahra.
Dear listeners, especially dear ladies, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special, and of course, a special program on the birthday anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Congratulations to all of you, and keep us in your dua and supplications. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.